We are walking through the book of Philippians, Unstoppable Joy. This is lesson 4 in the study of many. And I love this title, The Reason You're Still Alive. You know, you ever wondered that? Why am I? People ask me that all the time. Pastor, why am I still here? And I'll try to answer that today. I'll tell you why I think you're still here. Because a lot of times when people are going through a difficult time, like you, Danny, or somebody else is going through a hard time, like, man, why am I still here? I'm still here. Or and sometimes I go, I think the Lord might have something for me to do. Huh. Let me tell you, I don't think. I know He's still got something for you to do. That's why you're here. Hey, if the Lord did have something for us to do, He'd save us, redeem us, and we'd go straight to heaven. But you know what it is? Because we're still alive, we have the ability to witness. Do you know in heaven we're not going to witness to the lost? Because they're not going to be there. And it'd be too late to witness. Now, we'll praise and we'll worship the Lamb that's due His glory. But, hey, but we're still alive. And I know some of you feel more alive than others. Like, here, I'm going to start this way. Have you ever been torn between two choices? You know, you open the door of the refrigerator and you just can't decide what to eat. You ever done that before? Unless you're saying, Pastor, no problem. There's nothing in my refrigerator but one thing. Well, okay. Well, let us know. Okay. Or have you ever waited in line at a fast food restaurant and you waited and you waited and you waited and you got up there and they're ready to take your order? But the person in front of you, they've been waiting the same amount of time you have. And then they get and they go, huh? And they're looking around. They're like, man, what have you been doing? You waited till you got up here. And now you act like you've never even seen the menu. They're like, get a clue. All right. But here's one. See if you women ever struggle with this. You go to your closet. You look in there. You go. What do you say?
I have nothing to wear.
I have nothing to wear. What am I going to wear? What shoes am I going to wear? You know, whatever. You know, you just like, man, decisions. And like today, how many of you had to decide what route you're going to take to church? No, because you're probably only one route, you know, or maybe unless you're just crazy and you take the way around. But decisions, they're everywhere. Oh, the Apostle Paul struggled with the decision. He was torn, and we'll read that today in this reading from the book of Philippians chapter 1. But he was torn between these two desires. And I put it down here. Look right in the middle of your page. I just want you to see this, the Message Truth. It's in the oval. While heaven might be your desired destination. Anybody desire heaven? Hopefully all of us. The earth is your current situation. See, heaven is where our mind should be. Heaven is where we're focused. We long for a heavenly city. We long for the presence of God eternal. We long to be with our loved ones that have preceded us in death in Christ. But currently, earth is our assignment. So it must be that God's still got something for us to do. Just been thinking about that a lot. So if you still have life left in you, then God's got more left for you to do. And the church said, amen. Let's close in prayer. Wasn't that a great message? That was Philippians. I just covered it for you. We're going to dig through this. But that's pretty much the gist of it is, hey, heaven, that's the desire. But I got something to do. Now, it's for us as a body to figure out what we're to do, but also there's all these individual assignments. And do you think God gives us different assignments? Of course He does. He gives us different spiritual gifts, and He's given you an assignment that nobody else has. And if you don't fulfill your assignment, guess what happens? It doesn't get done sometimes, or He gives it to somebody else. And it could be that God wants you to be doing that, and you want to get into that because I'm calling this series Unstoppable Joy. And I think we get joy when we walk in the will of Christ. How many believe that? You walk in the will of Jesus, you get joy. You disobey God, you don't have so much joy. You got a lot of grief, you got a lot of headache, a lot of heartache, and it just gets hard here. So as I look at this, these difficulties, these choices that Paul struggles with that we'll look at here, he says, but I am torn. I'm just kind of stuck. Like, I don't know which one to do. And you're like, well, Pastor, what is it? Well, I know that he wants Christ proclaimed, but let's look at the scripture. Look there with me. I'm going to read it to you. Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 20. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I've been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. Here it is. Here's what I've been talking about all morning. Verse 23. I am what? I am torn between the two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive, so I will continue to help all of you grow and experience what? What's the word? The joy. Circle it in your Bible. Does it say experience the joy of your faith? And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. I love that. So Paul here, he just addresses it right there like, hey, I'm torn to be away from this body. And it would be far better if I was with Christ because that's my goal. That's the one that saved me. That's where I want to be. And some, if we're honest in here, don't a lot of times we want, Lord, I just want to go home. How many of you have said in the last month, Lord Jesus, come today, come tonight, come quickly. I'm ready to get out of this world. I'm just a sojourner passing through. I just stopped off for a while. Some of you stopped off for a long time. And some had, you know, I'm in that category. I mean, man, when you get this age, you know, when you get 60 plus, you've been on the earth a long time. But, you know, it's also a little depressing. Any of y'all ever look in the mirror and go, there's a lot of life already lived and a lot less for me to live on this earth. But, Father, I long for my home to be with you, and I desire that. But, Lord, you still got me here, so you got something for me to do. And I got to figure out what it is. You just ask your, just be conscious of the people that will ask you that question. I don't know why I'm still here. I can't see. I can't hear. I can't chew my food with my mouth closed. You know, I can't do this. I can't do that. But I don't know. I'm still here. Well, keep asking the Lord. I think he'll show you. I'll tell you one thing that he does with people that struggle in their body. What does he do? He calls them to do what? He calls them to do what? Pray. He calls them to stand in the gap and intercede and make intercession for the church, for other believers, for the lost. I mean, God, I just am convinced that you've got things for us. So, Jesus, we need help. But let's look at some of these blanks. Here it is. Fill in this first one. Get ready to put this in there, Melinda. We trust in Christ. We need prayer. It's foundational. But look at verse 19 here. Paul was more concerned with their spiritual deliverance than their physical freedom. Paul wanted them to be free in the spirit. See, you would think Paul would just be going, I just bet Paul wanted to get out of chains. I bet that's all Paul thought about was 24/7. Then you've not read the book of Philippians. Paul really could care less about them chains. Them chains just were enablements that he might make Christ known. And he could be shipwrecked. He could be stoned. Whatever happened, he was going to promote Jesus. Now, I'm sure he would have liked to have been free more than he was from chains, but he wanted spiritual deliverance. How many of you know people that got plenty of money, got a nice car, nice home, got their health, got all kinds of things going for them, but they are bound by this world. There are demons that have attacked them, have attached themselves. There are strongholds that are holding them back, and all they need is spiritual deliverance. Amen. But you know what they do? They keep holding on to what? All the other stuff. And sometimes you got to just do what? You got to let go. You just got to let go of it. And this morning, I could stop right here and say, hey, man, is there anything we need to run to Jesus with? Is there anything we need to run? I don't know what kind of altar we got down here. This is kind of crazy. But what would you run for? I mean, you just want to run to him and say, Lord, I cast this before your feet. I think that's one of the greatest principles of the Apostle Paul, because in this verse, it's my life verse. I've told you that for 27 years. Philippians 1:21. That is my verse that I've built my life on. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Jesus, if I go on living, I want to make you known. But if I die, even far better is to be with you. I don't know about you. Once you receive Christ and you know your sins are forgiven and you've got eternal life in Jesus and you know that you're going to your heavenly home, death just doesn't have any fear over you anymore, does it? You're just going, I'm not trying to speed it up. But I'm not afraid of it. How about before you knew Christ? I remember scared to death. Sometimes I closed my eyes because if I open them, where would I open them at? Where would I be? Would I be on the wrong side? Yes, I would have been. But when we're in Christ, you know that scripture that says, and when I awake, I shall behold his likeness. I shall see him. How many of you look forward to the day that you lay down or you close your eyes and when you open, all you see is the Savior. Man, that is going to be sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We long for the one that's redeemed us. Oh, church, man, this make you want to preach. Oh, that's what I do. I'm a preacher. Okay, all right, let's keep going. All right. I forgot where I was at. So spiritual deliverance here. All right, look at this next one. Paul resolved to honor Christ in all things. That's all the Apostle Paul did. He says, you know what? It doesn't matter if I'm chained, if I'm shipwrecked, if I'm hurt, if I'm blasphemed, if I'm judged, if I'm discredited, if y'all mock me, if y'all come against me. Y'all do anything you want. I just want to honor Jesus. Wow. That's what Jesus wants for the church. That's what he wants for each of us individually, to honor the name of Christ. Now, we won't confess that right now publicly, but we've all dishonored Christ. We've dishonored Jesus this week in some ways. Maybe we've dishonored him today. And Jesus says, but my goal is for you to honor me, to be holy, to walk after me day by day. So Paul's just, he's hammering this truth. He's resolved in his heart that he's going to honor Jesus, that's the good thing of heaven, that's all he wants. That, you know what Paul would say? Paul would say, Christ is my purpose. Anybody ever ask you, what's your purpose? Charles, what's your purpose? Faye, what's your purpose? Sandy, what's your purpose? People ask you all the time, what's your purpose? You got a purpose statement? Right. Give me a purpose statement. Yeah, that's real big. That was real big 25 years ago. Everybody wants you to write out your purpose statement. But you just got to ask yourself, what is my purpose? So, well, it's to get married. Somebody said, nah, that ain't it. Oh, excuse me. Hey, you see, have kids. Have grandkids. Yeah. Purpose to have a lot of money. That'd be okay. Purpose is to do this. I don't know. And what if you say, purpose is to have my health? How many like health? Health is a good thing. Yeah, I want to have my health. But if that's all you got, there's not much there. What's your purpose? I mean, what gets you up in the morning? Pastor, I'm really sad today because Bob Barker died. You know, that's all I got up was to watch him on TV. Well, I know that was nice, okay? 99 years, he had a good life. But if that's all you do is live for Price is Right or to get up and watch some kind of show, you ain't got much purpose. You're saying, well, Pastor, my purpose is to watch Fox News every day. Help you, Jesus. My purpose, I tell you what, you can ask Donna. I haven't asked her ahead of this. What is my purpose on Saturday afternoons in the fall? Unless you have Spectrum. Yeah. That's bad. But you know what? But I do. That is a pretty good purpose. Like, man, I want to watch football, you know. And a lot of us, we like football. Some of you, I just want to know. We won't judge you. How many don't like football? Because there's some in here. Yeah, see, 1, 2, 3, 4. See, they like. Yeah, they live here. You know what? They're like, man, hey, that ain't no big deal. You know, and you say, but my purpose, here's what some people tell me. My purpose, Pastor, is to shop. Oh, help me, Jesus. You know what? And they came out with this thing. It's really good. It's called Amazon. You ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah.
You never leave your chair, and you can shop all day.
Yeah.
And it'll deliver it to your porch, and then you can send it back when it don't fit. You know what I'm saying? How many of you? Y'all start smiling. Yeah. How many of you Amazon's your best friend? Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Gives you purpose, doesn't it? No. You know, you get something new or whatever. You get a deal. How many of you like deals? Like you're looking for a Labor Day deal? Yeah.
Retail therapy.
Okay. All right. All y'all come up right now. Let's lay hands on Linda. Retail therapy. Okay. No, I'm teasing. All right. Although she would like for you to pray for her. Okay. So Christ is our life. Here it is. For me to live is money. To die is to leave it all behind. Me to live is fame, to die is quickly be forgotten. For me to live is power and influence, and to die is to lose both. But for me to live is possessions, and to die is to part with nothing in my hands. You ever thought about that? If you only live for the treasures of this world, they're soon forgotten. And you don't take them with you. They're just all behind. But look up there on the screen. To live is blank. To live is blank. You got to put something in that blank. We all put something in that blank. You're saying, Pastor, I'm not putting anything in that blank. I am not participating in this. That's a trick question. No, it's not a trick question. To live is, it's like you were born on this date and you got a dash, and you're gonna get another one. What you gonna do in between? Well, what's your purpose in to live is? And you could have said some of those things I just said. You could say, man, now, Pastor, my purpose really is to live is Christ. To live is to bring honor to the Father. To live is to make him known. To live is, let me tell you one And I got to be careful here because I am crazy about this group. I mean, I'm crazy about them. But I don't want them to be first. I love my family. I love my family. But if I put my family before the Lord Jesus, then I've messed up. And I know some people that put family before Jesus. And then you can say, Pastor, mine's travel ball. I'm putting travel ball before everything. That's a bad.
You
overmarried. Yeah, yeah. There you go. There you go. And that's a bad God, isn't it? It's just Jesus wants to be supreme. He wants to be the master. He wants to be right there in the middle. So let's just keep walking through this because I want you to see here. So Paul, he doesn't say, hey, to live is to serve for Christ. To live is to give to Christ. To live is to teach a class for Christ. To live is to attend a church for Christ. Those are all good things. But he says to live is Jesus, his presence. Have you been in the presence of Jesus today? Have you slowed away already this morning early and just sat still with him? And just looked at his scriptures and allowed his small, still voice to speak or to pause with the Father? I talk a lot about the pregnant pause, the silent pause for the Christian. We got to have them daily because this life interrupts us 24/7. And we got to slow our pace down. Say, Lord, I need you to speak. This morning early, man, I was awakened and I was praising Jesus and just going through some things in my mind. Then I got up, got on my knees and just exalted his name. Then I started reading some scripture. Ah, that was a good place. And then I picked up my iPad and I just started kind of looking over today's message and saying, Lord, to proclaim the name of Jesus. And Lord, may we look to you today. May you be the one that, Lord, you're not going to disappoint. This football season, a lot of us are already happy because we got a win yesterday, unless you're a Florida fan. Mm-hmm. And then today, Bob's not here. I'm saying this. Tell him to listen to it. Bob's hoping LSU won't choke tonight. We'll see. But, you know, even if your team goes undefeated this year, that's still a weak God. It's a pitiful God, to be honest with you. But there's a God that will never disappoint. He's never lost one time. He is forever faithful. Jesus is his name. So Paul says, to live is this Christ. You Praetorian guards, you strut around here. You act like you know what you're doing. You got your stuff together. You're the highest. You're the most elite in the group. You are. But you got influence. But you know what? I want to leverage what I've got, Christ. And I want to share Christ with you that you might share him with Felix, or the governor, or somebody, or your mama, or your daddy, or your neighbor, or your enemy. But I want to proclaim Christ. That's what Philippians is about. He goes to Philippi just to make Christ known, to delight in Christ. His identity was Christ. It was his mindset. You know, he said, I got to eliminate these options, you know, in my mind. You know, we talked about we're torn in desires, but how many of you like options? Do you like options? Sometimes options drive us nuts. Why? Why do options drive us nuts sometimes?
Decide.
Huh?
Decide.
Have to make a decision.
Yeah. Too many of them.
I mean, like, you know, you've been to that new ice cream shop, 98 flavors. You know, you go up there like, man, I just want it. And I don't understand it. If vanilla ice cream is your favorite, you need to get out more. Okay, but I mean, they got all these flavors, but sometimes they come up with this stuff. Like yesterday, there was something I was watching my little God. He's not my big God, I promise you. Football's not. But I was watching it, and they had some sandwich. It was Chick-fil-A's got a new chicken sandwich they've come out with, and they're putting some stuff on it. I'm like, what? What happened to just a chicken sandwich? Wasn't that okay? And sometimes they come out with this stuff. Hey, I got a new latte for you. It's going to, you need this. It'll make you smell better. And it only costs $17.85 for a small one. You're like, what? I need that? You know? I don't know why I'm going there. But you know what I'm saying. But we want to magnify Christ. Lord, I want you to be bigger. I want you to be greater. You know, we ask ourselves, Lord, I'm earth born, but I'm heaven bound. Don't you like that? I'm earth born, but I'm heaven bound in Christ. And I love the story I read. It says, you know, about talking about how long I had to stay here. One says, why can't I just bypass all this and go directly to heaven? The little 9-year-old Marcia said, well, when you die, you don't have to do any homework in heaven. unless your teacher's there. And she goes, that's a horrifying thought. Oh, no, not it's not a horrifying that her teacher would be in heaven, but that you'd be given assignments like homework in heaven. Her classmate Stephanie said, oh, doctors help you so you won't die until you pay all their bills. And, of course, when you see the doctor's bill, you're going to say, Lord, I'm ready for heaven. And do y'all know what happened to me this week? Don and I have been paying all this money for my surgery in February, and we thought it was done. I had surgery in February. Monday, they sent me a present. They sent me a $1,600 bill yet on Monday. I went, wow, no wonder y'all in trouble. That's kind of bad accounting. It didn't make me happy, you know. That's okay. God's good. How many think God's good? He is great. He is to be praised in his house, isn't he? We worship him. He's our purpose. See, when you make Christ your purpose and you magnify Christ, then everything else can hit you in the face. It can come against you, and you still have something to have joy because he's eternal, and you will go to be in his presence forever, and you cannot be denied when Christ is your life. But Christ is not your life and other things are your life, then you're like this. It's up and down. It's called circumstances. Joy, remember what I told you first week? Joy is not built on circumstances. Joy is built on a person, the person of Jesus Christ, a relationship with him. That's why, man, I just hope your relationship with Jesus is so good, so strong, so tight. You have such communion with him. You walk with him closely. You lean into him. Lord, Paul would say, hey, this is an opportunity just to advance the gospel. I'm in prison, but Christ will be known. So there's tension there in his life. He's just being faithful. He's honoring Christ in it. It's not money, fame, power, influence, possessions, but it's Christ. And he says, man, that's all I want, folks. That's what I want y'all to have. I'm going to tell you one of the stories today, one of the greatest stories I've ever read. Read it years ago, and I read it again this week. There were five martyrs. And there was a film put out by them several years ago. I think it was called The Spear, Donna. Donna and I went to it, and it was a powerful film of faith. And maybe you can Google it. Not right now, okay? I'm still preaching, okay? But maybe you can look at that. And here it is. See if you know these names. Nate Saint, Roger Yonderin, Ed McCulley, Peter Fleming, Jim Elliott. Jim Elliott's my favorite. In 1955, you know what happened in 1955?
Yeah.
Well, you don't. It was 4 years before I was born. Okay, all right, anyway, but they were all under the age of 35, and they went to Ecuador with a vision of reaching a tribe of Indians called the Aka Indians. And you know what the word means? Savage. They did not like white man. They did not like somebody not like them. They didn't like somebody that was not a savage. They would take their lives. No one had ever attempted to present the gospel to them because when they did, you never heard about those people because they didn't live. But these five missionaries, highly trained, highly educated, had a passion to make Christ known to this tribe of savages. They just said, we've got to go. So they took off and they went there. And in January 1956, the five men decided the time had come to go in contact. So they went and they established a base camp there to them. On January 8th, 1956, at 3:30 in the afternoon, these five men that loved Jesus, that left all the treasures of America to go, they were all speared to death. And the news shocked the world. Many people wondered how young men with so much promise could waste their lives in that kind of way. They did not. And they found a journal of Jim Elliott. And this is of a non-scriptural quote, this is probably in the top five quotes I've ever read in 41 years of being a pastor. You need to write it down. I don't have it on the screen. I apologize, but you need to write it down. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Let me say it again. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He knew that his life had been bought, was a vapor, but Christ was the treasure of his life. And did Jim Elliott waste his life? I don't think so. We read about him. He was married to who? Elizabeth Elliott. Great but tremendous gospel writer. Passion and purity on and on. Don and I've heard her speak live, and she walks in the room and Jesus is he's full in the front. So I love that. He just decided, hey, your life's not going to last forever, so you better invest it in the things that do last forever. That's what Paul says. To live is Jesus, but to die is even far better. I'm torn between the two. But he knew what he invested in because he invested in the eternal. So what do I attempt to do on Sundays is to point to Jesus and to look to Christ and to make sure our focus is on the one that can save us and can keep us and will carry us and will walk with us and will defend us and will deliver us. Do you have another word for me? Will be a companion to us? Will be a helper? How many of you need Jesus to deliver you? I do. You need Jesus to defend you? Yes. Do you need Jesus to direct you? Uh-huh. You ever try to run your own life? How's that going for you? Directing your own life. Jesus did not put us to be the top cop or top traffic guard. I mean, we direct our lives, man. We run off in the ditch. We just make a mess of it. And like, Lord, but verse 23, for I'm hard pressed between the two. I have a desire. I want to depart. I want to be with Christ. That's far better. That's what he said. He just goes, hey, guys, that's far better. Let's look over there. But look on the next side. Honoring Christ in life. To live as Christ. It means to thrive in fruitful labor. It's Paul's secret to success in one sentence. To live as Christ. To die as gain. You're saying, Pastor, you're that's too simplistic. There's got to be more. No, that's it. You spend your lifetime investing in that one sentence. To live is Jesus. To die is far better. It would be greater if I went ahead and just got to go home. I mean, right now, many of us in this room would love to go be with our mama. Love to go be with our daddy. Love to go be with our son, our daughter, our husband, our wife, our friend, a loved one. Oh, that'd be awesome. But Christ has got us here. And he's got something for us to do. And I tell you, one thing is to witness to the lost world. And it's to encourage those that are in Christ. And it's to bring strength and refreshment. And to spur them on to keep fighting a good fight. You know what's sad is somebody that starts with Christ and they bail out. You know what I want to do? I want to finish strong. How many want to finish strong? I want to. You start strong. I started real strong in Jesus. I did. I was so rebellious and wicked. But, man, I started. I was running a 100-yard dash. I was sprinting for the Savior. And life hit. And I had some bumps and bruises. And it's been tough along the way. But you know what? It's been good, too. But I want to finish what I started. Because he who began a good work in me will complete it against the day of Christ. You say, Pastor, you keep sharing that verse? What? I think that's your favorite verse. Well, it could be. Might be second. Philippians 1:6, 1:21. See, I can't seem to get out of Philippians, folks. I'm just kind of eternally stuck there. I'm stuck in the Gospel of John, and I'm stuck in the Epistle of Peter. I mean, the Epistle of Philippians. I love all the Word of God, but those two books, well, and then I go, well, then, but Romans, and Romans kind of does a number on me. Well, you know, then I'm thinking about 1 Peter. But, you know, I was thinking about Jeremiah. Man, that's pretty, well, you know, Isaiah, man, that was really getting me yesterday. But, you know, the psalmist, man, that's a really, well, you know, the Proverbs, I think I just love the Word of God. How about you? Because, see, when I said Philippians, somebody went, yeah, whatever, jailbird, yeah, give me another book. And if I said John, you went, oh, yeah, he's the beloved. Yeah, we spent 3,700 weeks in there in John, like, praise Jesus, we were out of that. Well, you did Hebrews, I kind of like that. You know, have y'all got a favorite book of the Bible? James. Yeah, that's one of my favorites too. Do you think Jesus is going to ask us when we get to heaven, what's your favorite book of the Bible? You can't come in until you tell me your favorite book. Let me tell you, don't quote a book going, Jesus is Hezekiah. There's not a Hezekiah. You're not getting in. You're only getting in by the blood of Jesus. It's not a passcode, but if you said Hezekiah, I would just go. I taught the Word of God all these years, and they still think Hezekiah's a book. He was a king. All right, read the book. Yeah, y'all know what I'm saying. Okay, so an anchor here. Here it is. So Paul, here, when he talks about, getting ready, desire to be a part, In the Greek, there's a word analo, and it means to depart. But in that culture, it even had deeper meaning. It meant to unloosen. It meant to undo. For the sailors, for a sailor, they know what it is to take a rope off and untie the ship and to release it. Jesus wants us to take the rope off. Is that good? Pull up the anchor. Set sail. We're not going to sing this. I fly away. But, yeah, that's what it would be. Okay. Another one. I like this one. Here's another metaphor. The earth is a campground. How many of you like to go camping? Okay. Well, we'll pray for you. All right. But anyway, the earth is a campground. And we're just passing through. And our permanent abode is in heaven. But one day, we're going to break up camp. And we're not going to set up the tent anymore. Hallelujah. And we're going to go to be with the King. See, this morning, when you got up and looked in the mirror, you looked at a tent. And when you looked at your tent this morning, it was flapping. And it was torn. And it had some different things. I don't know what your tent looked like. I just speak about my tent. And I'm like, man, this tent is damaged. But it's redeemed. And I need to get out of this tent and to my earthly tent. You know, to my eternal tent. To my tent with Jesus. So you're just a tent. See, I've always preached about tents. God's always had a tent people. Read the Old Testament. I feel like we're back in the tent today. I never know what's going to be behind me every week. It's never a thematic setting either. It's always some construction zone. But this ain't it. It's just a tent, you know. So God wants to unloosen our tent. I like that, Jesus. So we go to be with you. Because when we finish in this tent, we go to a heavenly palace. We go to a heavenly home. We go to a heavenly mansion. I've always told you, but it just always amazes me when I do funerals, and we have a lot more cremations today than ever, but when we don't, and people always tell me about how good they look. You know, they look so good, Pastor. They look so good. And I understand that, because, I mean, you want them to look their best. And I understand that, and that's good. But they're a little stiff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're not looking good. They wanted to go home. Their body said, "I've completed this journey, but I've gone to. I can't wait to see my family in heaven. How about you? It's going to be full of life. Do you know? There's going to be no walkers in heaven. There's going to be no sore ankles in heaven. No headaches in heaven. No cancer in heaven. Hallelujah." That right there makes me want to go, don't you? There's going to be no debt in heaven. The debt's already been paid. Yeah, you know you like that, don't you? Okay, here you go. All right, so Analo. Here's what it means. The job is done. See, heaven's main attraction is not stuff. You know what the main attraction in heaven is? God. That's the main attraction. God. God, you'll be enough. So he says, in this life, I want you to do a warm-up. I want you to practice. I want to become enough in this life. So to live, let's go back to that blank of it. To live is blank. Am I building a case this morning just to be thinking about? I know what living needs to be. I know what it is for me. I know what I want it to be. I'm going to start working on it even more. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, we'll be called up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I love that scripture. Hey, I'm going to put my, y'all just know, if I die in your lifetime, I'm putting the tent down. I'm going to take up my eternal home. Yeah, Lord, thank you for that. The Bible says that one day he's going to give us a new body. Wow. All right, let's go here. I could just keep preaching about this theme. Look here what he says. Paul models a, fill in the blank, a kingdom-motivated life. That's what Paul models. Paul is about the kingdom of God. He lived the kingdom. He modeled the kingdom. The kingdom was his authority. The kingdom was his focus. And the scripture calls you and I to be kingdom-minded. Advance the kingdom of Christ. We advance a kingdom every day. Did you know that? Every day we advance a kingdom. We advance our kingdom, or we advance the kingdom of Jesus. And let me tell you, the second one's the better one. What happens when you advance your kingdom? Well, you get prideful, you get arrogant, you stumble, you fall, you mess up, you get judged. What happens when you advance the kingdom of Jesus? He gets praise and glory and honor. Jesus, we want to see your... See, guys, You know, I want us to grow. I want the table to be so much more than we've become. Although we might have to find another little space if we start growing. You know, I mean, they're kind of squeezing us in here, you know. But wouldn't that be awesome if we just had so many people saying, you know, we don't have very big room, so we have services at 8, 9, 10, 11, 2, 3. Help me, gee, I'd be looking for a new place, okay? But I wish we had that many people coming where we're just like, man, we can't hold them in here. We can't contain them. This room makes me think about my body. It's temporary. But there's something good about that. I don't want to come in here and just worship the building. I want to worship the King that redeemed the body. Amen. All right, let's keep going, church. So how do you live with a kingdom mindset? Just give you a couple thoughts here. Well, you know, to do that, you've got to just keep submitting to Christ every day. You got to keep just loving His Word. You kind of keep just running after Him, pursuing Him with everything that you've got because you want to glorify Him. So on this handout here, it says honoring Christ in death. To die is gain. Well, we will honor Christ in death because then we'll be given eternal glory. And boy, that's going to be enough. You know, I didn't think about death a lot, but when I was 5 years old, I experienced the first death. My grandfather died. Pop. Pop was his name. I didn't really know him very well, but I knew I always wanted to be a pop. I am a pop today. It's my favorite name. And then when I got 9 years old, I experienced death in a deep meaning. I lost my mom and my daddy, Tom, my granddaddy. And I'm the only survivor from that. 2 weeks before that, I'd lost my grandmother. So I started facing death a lot when I was a young kid. From 5 to 9, I experienced more death than anybody in my school that I'd ever talked to. Didn't have any answer. Our home was not spiritual. Our home was not Christ following. So I struggled with it. Matter of fact, death just scared me. Death, I just ignored it. Death, I didn't want to think about it. I just thought death was vicious. Death didn't bring my mama home. And I lived that life, directing my life. And then at 19, Jesus interrupted me. He got my attention. He saved me. And as soon as I received Christ, the fear of death was gone. And I never feared it again. And I knew my sins were forgiven. I knew I had eternal life in the Lamb. And I said, I better witness and tell people about Jesus that they might gain eternal life in the Savior. That's the hope of heaven. That's a kingdom-motivated life. Lord, we love You to eagerly await the other side. Death is better than the best life. What's his name? Joe Osteen, your best life now? He got it wrong, folks. If this is your best life, I feel sorry for you. If this is the best life's got to offer, you're saying, but Pastor, I got a cool Jeep. Pastor, I got a fast car. Pastor, I got some money in my pocket. Praise the Lord. Pastor, I am so strong. Pastor, I got that. Oh, good. This your best life? This is it? You know what E.V. Hill said? This is an outhouse compared to what God's got prepared for those that love Him and been called according to His purpose. I don't know what you think about outhouses. I don't think very much about them unless I need to use one. But if this is the best life I got, this ain't your best life. Your best life is yet to come, church. Amen. Get people ready for that trip. Yeah, come on. Some of you got kind of excited about that. Yeah. You're like, man. I could have called this message, don't live in an outhouse. Death is better than life. It's the way to eternal glory. We've been delivered by Jesus. He defends us. I wrote down the advantages of both living and dying. The advantage of dying as a Christian. You know what the advantage of dying as a Christian is? You get to be with Jesus. You get to have your desired possession, your desired choice, your desired king. You get to dwell with Him forever. You get to live with Him. You remember, it's desirable. You remember when you were so tired? You know when kids get real tired, what do? Oh, man, they get cranky. They start crying. They get fussy. Man, they just crave rest. And what happens when you give them the pacifier and you give them a quiet place? They go off to sleep, little angels. They love it. How many of you wish, wouldn't you love it tomorrow if you still work? Wouldn't it be great if your boss walked up to you, not tomorrow, it's Labor Day, Tuesday, and said, you know, Linda, you worked so hard at Trinity School, but I got some milk and graham crackers, and I want you to sit down, and then I want you to go over here away from the children. I want you to lay down, and I want you to take a 20-minute nap. Man, they'd be lining up to get her job. But you know what? We're going to get to take a rest one day, church. One day we're going to rest with the Lamb forever. And we can rest in His presence today if we're willing to. I think we had that song today, didn't we? Did we have the song today, Run to the Father? Am I dreaming about that? It's a rest in the Father. Hey, it was a priest. See, if you come at 9:45, you could have got that song. Yeah. I know somebody. Hey, y'all, can I just tell y'all, church starts at 10 o'clock, but it really starts at 9:45. I just thought I'd tell some of y'all that. All right. Death is a promotion. Look, write that down. Death is a promotion. People all the time, Pastor, I'm living. It's better than the alternative. I go, no, it ain't either. The alternative is awesome. It's Jesus. But living's pretty cool, too. Because I love Donna, and I love my kids, I love my grandkids, I love y'all. Y'all are fun to hang out with. That's pretty awesome, man. So we loosen the bonds. We go out after Jesus. We look for Him. We trust Him. But death is superior to living, too, isn't it? It is. So look at this. Look at the outlook. Here, fill in this next blank. Our outlook on death indicates our genuine salvation. See, when you have genuine salvation, you long to be in the presence of Christ. You desire heaven more than you do anything of this world. So Jesus, help us to desire You. I mean, you know, if we're honest, we desire some things in this world. And I think the Lord creates things for us to enjoy. How many think the Lord created things for us to enjoy? I do. I think one thing He created was nature and the beauty of the landscape of our world. And God wants us to enjoy. And He gave us eyes and ears. And we can smell the flowers and all the water. I think God enjoys when we enjoy that. But when we put the creation above the Creator, wrong, He wants to be praised. Morning, noon, and night. Death is desirable, but unleashing, loosening. You know, we move our tent. We long to be with Him. The more we live as Christ, the more we gain in death. Circle that on the handout. We gain in death. So here's kind of my closing thought today as I kind of wrap it up. I could go on and on. You're like, thank You, Jesus, that He's not. What are you going to do with this Jesus? You going to tell somebody about Him? About this is what Christ did for me. This is who Jesus is to me. You don't have to be a theologian. You just tell them about what Jesus has done for you. He's forgiven you. He loves you. He leads you. He listens to you. He comforts you. He strengthens you. He sustains you. He shields you. He leads you. What else does Jesus do? We've seen that song, Jesus Does. What else does Jesus do? Protects. I like that, Jill. Protects us. Amen. Loves us, Debbie. That's duh. Jesus loves me. This I know. Okay. What else? He comforts us. Yeah. What a great God. So I go back to this. Was it worth it for Jim Elliot? Five young men gave their lives to reach the Aka Indians in 1956. At the time, it seemed to be one of the greatest tragedies in the Christian world with no redeeming purpose. You know what's happened as a result? Let me give you the rest of the story. Within a few years, over 1,000 new missionaries went to the field as a result of their martyrdom. Soon, the Indian Bible schools in Ecuador were filled to overflowing with native believers desiring to learn God's Word. Rachel Saint, I'm breaking out in chills. I think because I've seen Elizabeth, and this is his daughter, Rachel Saint and Elizabeth Elliott, widows of Nate Saint and Jim Elliott, moved into Aka Village to begin the process of Bible translation. 9 years later, two of the Akas who helped kill the five missionaries had come to Christ, and they baptized Kathy and Steve Saint, a daughter and son of Nate. A flourishing church was established among the Akas and other neighboring tribes. In 1995, Steve Saint moved back among the Akas to live with them at their request. The story goes on. There's no doubt part of the fruit that Paul speaks about in the text. Truly, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Blessed be these five martyrs that gave their life for the sake of the gospel. And they rest forevermore. That's a true story. And you still, you might, I think I got the name right. If not, just go movie on Jim Elliot, but I think it's called, is it called The Spear? Folks, you want to watch it. It's, have you seen it, Karen? It's a powerful film. So here's my thought before we sing. See if you can do it with me. To live is Christ. To die is gain. That's God's word for Labor Day weekend.